Welcome to Queens Talk with AJ. We are two magical black queens from the A, college roomies turned cousins. Join us as we unpack truth, lies, and all in between.
We give all the millennial depth, culture, and lessons. This ain't no girl talk. This is queen talk. And we are hosts. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Ayana.
You know what it is.
Period.
Bitches done showed up and glowed up.
What it do, cuz?
What it do?
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you? How's
it going? I'm fine. It's going, you know? Life is... We're still here.
Yeah, thank God.
We are still here, so we are moving and grooving. How's your week?
I feel like the week was kind of... It was like, oh man, how are we still working 5 days a week? I don't know. I think that's how I was feeling.
Ready for a 4 day week, a 3 day
yeah.
week.
And like Sunday, me going into the week, like it was just a lot. I think I stayed up to like midnight trying to edit.
Oh yeah.
And then I was realizing stuff the next day. I was like, yo. So me even yeah. going into this week, it just was on go from Sunday.
From the beginning. From Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Damn. Super Bowl leading right into Valentine's Day week. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, that was a doozy, Valentine's Day. Yeah, it was an interesting week.
Very wow. interesting. Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
My mom asked me that too. I don't really know how to answer that question. I mean, it was like... a regular day.
It was a regular. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I worked.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you and like your cousins might did something or that's all. I guess.
No, our schedules are so different throughout the week.
Yeah. Okay.
We really don't be seeing each other till like the end of the day.
Yeah. I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, I had a good week. That's it. Nothing to report, honestly. It was a good week. Yeah. That's it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Sometimes nothing to report is good. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Nothing really pop in.
Right. Yeah, girl. So with it being Valentine's Day week, okay, I'm going to ask you two questions. So the first question is, what would be your ideal Valentine's Day situation? Like, is Valentine's Day a holiday you would actually want to celebrate with your partner?
I mean, I think if I had a partner, I definitely would want to celebrate it with them. I don't know in what way. Like, I have been removed from that for so long, so it's like, I don't know. Would I want to go to dinner or whatever? But I definitely feel like I would want to do something.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe like, receiving a small gesture, flowers. I'm not really into like a whole box of chocolates. Like,
yeah, no, please don't give me chocolate, actually.
You have to know me and then provide things.
Yeah, I would appreciate. Right,
it
exactly.
It doesn't necessarily have to be that you go and get things that pertain yes. to what the world tells you that you were supposed to give me on Valentine's
Social
Day.
Media was boom.
I don't need a stuffed animal. Like, a lot yeah. of that stuff I would not care
Why?
To have, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But if the gesture is what matters. So if you did balloons and stuff, like, I think that's sweet. Like,
yeah.
I think you just gotta know your person.
Yeah, I think that's actually been the talk of the week. Like, we've been talking about this a lot at work, actually. And it's funny because some of my coworkers, like older, you know, older people, male, he's a male nurse. He's kind of older. I mean, he's only 50, but. And we were like talking to him and we were like, oh, are you getting something for your wife? And he was like, eh, I don't know. Like, we don't really do that. We don't really celebrate. You know, he just was kind of blowing it off. This is like the day before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
He's like, no. And then his wife actually works there too. So I got a chance to ask her too. We were all talking about it, and I was like, so what do you like, do you guys celebrate Valentine's Day? And she's like, I mean, maybe, she's like, I don't care about that shit. You know, like whatever. She's like, I don't care. Because, and then another person I asked, like my other coworker, I asked her, and she's like, all the flowers die. Like, I don't want any flowers. And I'm like, I'm asking you, do you celebrate Valentine's Day? Why does everybody associate, okay, do you, the flowers are going to die? She said her husband said the same thing. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Wow, like,
so negative.
Yeah, I'm like,
Valentine's Day is really telling of the romantic level.
Yes.
Not necessarily, but kind of, because
yes,
if y'all aren't willing to do little things like that,
yeah.
So what do y'all do?
You know, it's funny though, because they say like the flowers die, and I'm like, what about a card? What about like any, yeah, like you don't have to get flowers. Like,
mean a lot.
Put yes,
some words in there, because life gets to life things.
And yes,
I may just need to hear that.
Yes, that would be literally like perfect. So, so yeah, we were talking about that and asking all these questions and stuff. And they're like, oh, I don't celebrate, like whatever. And then I'm like, well, do you celebrate or do you not? I'm like, if you have a conversation with your partner, you're like, okay, we're not going to celebrate, like, you know, then that's what y'all decision. But guess what? Everybody reported on Valentine's Day.
They were like, oh,
the one who said, no, they got something.
And they were excited.
Yeah, not excited, but they were like happy to have it. Like, it made them feel good.
So she's maybe like, what they're doing is lowering their expectations because they don't maybe know if their partner's going to come through. So they go ahead and down it. And then it helps.
I think that after you've been married for so long or even dating for a while, I feel like it's kind of like expected. Like, although we say we're not, which is actually kind of weird, because if you put an expectation that you don't expect anything and then you don't get anything, can you really be mad if you don't get anything? But their expectation is, oh, we don't celebrate it. But then, like, her husband, like, the first couple I was talking to, her husband got flowers delivered to the job for her. He's like, yeah, like, it's like, you know better. You know not to. One of the other texts was, the tech, he was like, yeah, you know better than to show up with nothing. Like, show up empty-handed. Like, nah, that's not gonna fly. So it's like, they know. And then, like, the lady who was like, my husband said flowers are gonna die. I think flowers are gonna die. I don't care. He got her a card and, like as a gag gift, I guess he got her a metal flower thing. So every year he gets her flowers, but it's like, not every year, but like he gets her flowers. But like, for example, one year he got her a rose bush for the backyard. So like, it'll just continue to grow. And then that's another beautiful year he got her, yeah, another, like this year he got her, like, it's a little wow metal, like a little metal plate thing or whatever. You just, you know, hang up, but it's flowers. He was like, I got you flowers. She was like, what is that on the bed? Like, she explains the whole story. And I'm like, y'all was talking all this shit yesterday about Valentine's Day, and now look at y'all smiling and happy.
Do you think some people like when it's performative because they can show other people, even though it's not
from the heart?
Not that
some people, yeah,
even though it's not maybe something that they care about. It's like, oh, you got flowers, you know, sent to my job. This is something that I can kind of flaunt to my coworkers type deal.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. For me, I feel like it's
from a performative, like they just like
the, yeah,
to can have flex something to post. It's a,
yeah,
grammable,
yeah,
situation.
I do. I can definitely see that. I feel like for me, oh, another thing I got a lot of was Valentine's is a man-made holiday and it doesn't matter. Like, it's just made to spend money. And I'm like, how many holidays do we spend money on? Christmas? That was not Jesus' real birthday. Thanksgiving, you spend all this money on food. And half of the food actually does go to waste in some places. So it's just kind of like, in some households, I mean. So it's kind of like all the holidays. Yeah, like, that sounds stupid to me.
I understand that you don't need this day to show that you love your partner.
Right.
But I also don't understand why you can't just make a small gesture and participate.
It's not even for anybody else. It's just a little, like a little effort, a little yeah goes a long way. Like, I don't know.
Everybody's, you know, you can go over the top and honey, appreciate it.
Yeah.
But small gesture, that's what I'm saying. Know your person, know maybe what little snacks they like, or
yeah,
it's just something
to make
so
them
hard
feel good,
even if it's a heart, like a handwritten letter.
Right. So this actually brings up my next question. So what if you're in a relationship and your partner says, I don't like Valentine's Day, it's stupid, like you just spend a lot of money, but on the flip side you're like, whoa, I like a little bit of Valentine's Day. So like, how do you come to a compromise in that kind of situation?
Oh, that's a good one. I really feel like, obviously, there just would have to be a compromise. So maybe we don't go out and spend a bunch of money. Maybe we do something at home. Maybe we have some type of small gesture that we do to start off our day. I don't know. To me, Valentine's Day is limitless in the sense that there's not a specific thing that you have to do. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Christmas.
So it's about the relationship.
It's not the pressure and the... I think to me, I'm not trying to be funny, but I think Valentine's Day is actually an inexpensive situation. I don't...
Bingo.
It's not up there with Christmas. You can get a teddy bear candy, $10.
Yeah.
$20. Mm-hmm. I don't see that it's expensive at all, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just think at that point, I'm sorry, but I think that relationships are about compromise.
Yes.
And
I agree.
Unfortunately, we have different love languages. So if there is somebody in the relationship that's saying, this is something that I think is necessary for me, like, I'm not expecting you to go all the way out. I think a small gesture can be made and then the other person can go about their day. Mm-hmm. And who knows, like, honestly, for me, if my partner says something like that, I probably would get them something. I'm going to put you in the spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
I need you to understand that it doesn't have to be, I don't know, it just doesn't have to be a thing.
Yeah. I agree. I completely agree. Yeah. I think a compromise needs to be made that everybody can agree on. Like you said, we don't have to actually go out in the kerfuffle. We don't have to do that. We can stay in, but like some flowers will be nice, like something real light. And like you said, like when I, like, that's a good point you made. Valentine's Day can be a very inexpensive holiday. Like, yeah, there's a lot of gimmicks to get you to buy all this stuff, but honestly, flowers are pretty much the same price as they always are.
It depends on the woman you're dating.
Well,
they might expect a pandemic.
Trips and,
rose petals.
Yeah.
Hotel. Like,
yeah. I think that kind of stuff, personally, that's what I expect on an anniversary.
Yeah.
I expect us to go all out for each other or together. We kind of get a hotel. We go on a little mini 2-3 day situation. Like, that's what I feel like our anniversary is for. But, like, Valentine's Day, I'm really fine with, like, we stay at the house, like, flowers, like, balloons.
That's why I don't understand why people have their anniversary on Valentine's Day or try to do that. I think that's a bad idea.
Do not propose to me on Valentine's Day.
Super pressure.
Yeah. Don't propose. And then it's expensive and then it's super crowded because it's everybody's anniversary.
That's a bad idea.
Don't ever propose to me. Do not ever do anything eventful on Valentine's Day. Oh, no, thank you. Hey,
New Year's.
You know what? As a matter of fact, no holiday. I don't want to share a holiday. It's my holiday. Just like birthdays, I don't want to share. This is so selfish. I don't want to share a birthday with anybody.
I don't want my kids
to be born on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. No.
Please, God.
To God, right?
Please, God, don't do it.
Yeah, I think that's all up to God. Relationships are so interesting, and I feel like there are a lot of people navigating relationships in the way that they feel like social media and other people say that they're supposed to be navigated. Even when it comes down to the ring, I was reading an article about people proposing and about this whole, the beginning of different companies selling the idea that there needed to be a specific ring to propose. And once that propaganda started, this was like, I don't know, it might have been in the 50s, 60s. Once it started, then there was this idea, you know, starting for generations that men needed to have the perfect ring to propose.
Oh, wow.
It had to be expensive. And it just takes away from the actual act and the reasoning behind it. Like, do you want to share your life with this person? You're getting too caught up in the little things and you're not thinking about the meaning behind it.
Right.
I think if people focus on the meaning when it comes to Valentine's Day or any other day with their partner,
it's
not hard because you love them. That's it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's why it should be easy for compromises. It may not be easy getting to the compromise, but wanting to compromise should be easy because you love your partner and you want to see them happy, and you, so that's what, for me, like, that's what it should be about.
I think Valentine's Day is traumatic for a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people will say that, but I think everyone has experienced Valentine's Day not at the highest, and that is just because the propaganda, the expectations behind it is so immaculate. And so a lot of times, if it doesn't happen and it doesn't, you know, it can be a lot. And sometimes people get all the things, but their partner is not up to par. So it's just like,
yeah, I think I've told my horrible Valentine's Day story before, girl. Ugh.
Yes.
Oh, so freaking embarrassing. That was,
we had a lot of audacity and we're done. Ooh. With it.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God. Oh my God.
Wow.
So yeah, Valentine's Day comes with so many conversations, so much just what can be pressure.
That I wanted to play you, and it's in relation to this topic. Mm-hmm. This guy, from what I understand, he did cheat on his wife, and he's going to explain it. This is posted by Kev on stage. He was reacting to this video, and he's saying why there shouldn't be podcasts because of people like this. So I'm going to play this for y'all.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, it's 2 minutes. I may have to cut some of this out. Okay.
Passed. I believe somebody needs a sponsor.
This is Kev on stage.
House or Senate, y'all do what y'all gotta do, because after you see this video, you're gonna agree that everybody can't have access to one. This man was asked what adversity he faced. Here's his answer.
Average.
Oh,
it's tough.
How long you been married?
7 years. When I first got married.
Had kids?
Two by my wife.
Why you say it that way? Two by.
Oh, I'm overcoming. I'm overcoming this adversity.
You have two by your wife, which means you got some other ones.
I have one more.
How old is that one more?
He is turning 2 in December. Exceeding, excelling, and overcoming. I'm surviving it. I'm 2 years past.
You're not surviving it. It's something that you did.
Oh, definitely.
Now, technically, you can face adversity that you caused yourself. Nobody said adversity had to be external forces. It could be self-inflicted adversity, still adverse.
But I'm still, me and my wife, we still rocking. Like, I'm surviving. It's tough.
She's overcoming.
Oh, she definitely is.
You obviously did something you weren't supposed to do. I think you need to learn how to exceed and excel as a husband. Tell me how you're exceeding, excelling.
This is what got me, guys.
As a husband.
I can use multiple examples. But for one, I'll say one I most recently did. My wife, she didn't even realize I was doing it. One day I just randomly sent her. I always send, my thing is blue hearts. Sent her a blue heart. Love you, babe. Come on it. On my morning text. Next day, love you, babe. 2 hearts. Next day, love you, babe. I caught myself sending her just like three random hearts. And I said to myself, oh, let me see how long I could go on with this heart. Like, every day I'm going to add an extra heart. I want to see how long, like, this was
a
little tactic. And I said, let me see if I could finish this thing throughout the year, into the new year, right? Oh, long story short, I messed up, right? Went 21 days. I don't know about you, boy. I felt good about 21 hearts, like, straight. Everything good, no arguments, no disagreements.
As you can see.
Anyways, I'm just gonna stop.
I really have to, before we talk about anything else, I'm thinking, I heard blue hearts and I automatically thought blue roses. Like, I thought he was thinking, like, oh, my thing is to send her blue roses.
Is emojis enough, guys?
Yeah, this is talking about emojis. You talking about 21 emojis? Send me 21 roses. Shut your mouth. That is the bare minimum. So we have a husband that gives the bare minimum. Have 5 seats. All of them. All 21 seats. Have all of them. Oh my God. Please stop. I send her a heart every day and I'm going to see how long this can last. And then nigga only made it 21 days. Boy, bye. It's too early for me to get this fired up. That's so disappointing. I hate when people don't put no effort and be so bare minimum. And this Negro has the audacity to say that he's surviving adversity. You caused the adversity. You are the problem, sir. Oh, Lord.
you had a baby outside of our marriage, and to make up for it, you were sending me hearts and telling and saying I love you each day.
As you should already. I should get a random text throughout the day saying I love you. And without anybody cheating on me. That should be the standard. That's the bare minimum. Sending me a text. You could do that in, well, don't text and drive. You could drive, you could be driving and shoot me a text.
You could say, Siri, send a blue heart. That's so that's crazy.
That just made it 500 times worse. It's him really saying, like, I'm overcoming, surviving. And then, oh, the baby or whatever, 2 years old, excelling, surviving, thriving. What are you talking about? It's a 2 year old.
Buddy overcoming. I mean, Buddy interviewed him, said, your wife is overcoming.
Yeah. She's surviving. Yeah, you're damn right.
Oh, Lord. I had to share that. I knew you were going to get fired up. Because
girl.
Me cause... watching that? Shocked. Anyway.
My whole face was twisted. What a fool.
Happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers, even though it is past.
Yes.
And yeah, hopefully none of us are having to deal with things like that, because that's crazy.
That is absolutely bizarre. Moving right along, y'all. So this week we just came, not only was it Valentine's week, but this weekend, the past weekend, we watched the Super Bowl. We've been calling it the Usher Bowl, but it was indeed the Super Bowl with the 49ers. San Francisco 49ers? I don't know. I'm sorry, y'all. The 49ers and, okay, and the Kansas Chiefs. So, yeah, and the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, so shout out to them. Moving right along. what I most enjoyed was Usher's performance. We're just going to get right to it because that's what I'm here for. What's Usher's performance? First of all, it got me extremely hyped to attend his concert this summer, fall, because what? Okay, I'll talk about that in a minute. Sorry, I'm so excited. Oh, okay. Usher's performance was so good. There are some things that we could, like, talk about, but overall, I think it was good. It was, like, a great kind of, what is it? Like a great spin at his catalog, like just like a little bit here, a little bit there. One thing I do wish is that we heard more of our favorite songs, because he really did give us like 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there, you know, so we were ready to like sing and then, you know. But anyway, yeah, I think he did a spectacular job. What do you think about the performance, Jordan?
I think that it was the quality. It was Super Bowl quality. He had a lot of movement in his performance, and I like that. I like that he brought out friends. I like that he had a marching band. It felt very Black, and I love
it. Yes, that. I love the HBCU band.
Alicia Keys was beautiful.
Yes.
It was great to see Lil Jon. Ludacris looked great. Oh, had the full fro out.
Okay, when I saw Luda with the fro, I was like, okay, Luda done brought the fro for us. That means he mean business. That's how you know he mean
he
business.
He wears his fro out a lot. Like, he wears braids too. But he's really held on to his look. And people give Usher a lot of credit for looking good. But Ludacris actually looks really good too. Like, he's definitely taking care of himself. It's really great that the people that we grew up watching, whether it's actors, actresses, musicians, that they still look so good. Aging like fine wine. I honestly love to see it.
And still in their craft, like thriving.
Yeah.
In their craft.
A lot of musicians back in the day, I mean, they were stringing out on drugs and stuff like that.
They're no longer with us.
Now health is prioritized in a different way. You know, there are people that still have their downfalls. No shade, but I know Wendy Williams is really going through it. So, So the artists that we have that, like Usher, that are iconic, just really glad that we can hold on to them and that they're here, like, to stay, that they're still relevant for generations. Like, my dad was surprised that he was 45. And I'm like, Dad, Nice and Slow is out. I was a young kid. Like, I was probably five.
Yeah. So,
He really has been around.
He really has been around, which actually brings me to another question that I did already drop in our group chat, but for everybody else, I said, do y'all think Usher's, like, do y'all think that this is Usher's time? Like, did he just reach his peak, or, like, did he just make it? Because after the Super Bowl at work, and I just saw, like, even on social media, some comments and stuff, and people were just like, oh, Usher's finally made it. He's doing his big one, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Usher been around. What are y'all talking about? Like, this man really, like, has been around. Like, yeah, like, maybe his vibes have, I mean, he just kind of jumped, like, he did some pop, like, we talked about that before. He did pop, R&B. I mean, but Usher has been around. Like, I don't think Usher just got into his bag. I think when you reach Super Bowl, I kind of feel like it's an honor. Like, it's your, like, this is, like, it doesn't mean that you finally made it. I feel like it's, you have been around, so here is a present. That's kind of how I feel when I think of, like, artists being on the Super Bowl.
On the Super Bowl, yeah.
Especially, in, I guess, in Usher's, in this situation with Usher. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that making it to the Super Bowl stage is an attestment of your work and your legacy. Once you're able to make it there, that means that you have enough reach and enough music hits to, you know, keep the audience's attention, and you've capitalized on the gauge of, you know, multiple generations of people through your music. So in my opinion, Usher has already, he's been iconic. I think that I hate that with Black artists, there is this thing of, you know, being like a Black popular artist and then being a crossover artist. It's always been a thing. And honestly, that started because a lot of times, starting since the beginning of time in this country, really, when it came to Black music artists, there was always a pushback to putting, you know, their music out there for the masses. And white artists, it was common for them to take the sound, the melodies, and, you know, do a flip on it and, you know, capitalize off of Black art. So that's just always been a thing. And so Usher was one of the first to, I feel like, be considered, you know, of our generation in a pop space outside of, like, Michael Jackson, Prince. There hasn't been a lot of male R&B artists to cross over in that capacity. Chris Brown could have, but after his holdback over Rihanna, it pretty much blackballed his chances.
I agree. Usher really been doing his thing. And I actually was, like, just doing some reading up on him, but he was signed at 14 years old. So, like, when you said, like, he been around, like, you were talking to your dad about him and stuff, it's like, dang, I can't believe he was 14. Like,
that's crazy. Giving your whole life to a craft.
Yes.
Those artists that start young and that are still relevant, you know that they really want it.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's not something that you just keep doing if you don't really enjoy it. Like, from 14, he's 45. No, you don't just, that's over.
No fall off, nothing but consistency.
Over 30 something years. Like, wow. We are in for it when we go to this concert, okay? We are in for it. And when I say in for it, I'm putting on my seatbelt. I'm strapping in because we're about to be in for a wild ride. Like, it's going to be amazing. So, shout out to Usher. This is beautiful. And what I also liked, he did have an HBCU band, Jackson State. So that was, like, wonderful. And then I feel like he really brought Atlanta to the Super Bowl. Like, when at the end, when they were all, like, when at the end, when they were all on the stage, like, at the bar we were at, I actually couldn't hear everything. When I rewatched the Super Bowl and they were, like, doing the dances and, like, ATL, I was like, I didn't hear any of this at the bar. It was, like, really amazing.
I'm going to have to rewatch it. I still have it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew Jermaine Dupri was coming. I like what I love about that. People always talk about how the South sticks together.
Yes.
And honestly, we really do.
Like, yes.
What think about us? We be rooting for each other.
We're going to bring our friends with us.
Yeah.
And that was great to watch as well.
We didn't talk about her coming out, but that was dope for her to come out playing that guitar too.
And you know
she
what?
She really did look like North. I'm not going to lie. After people start saying she looked like North,
I could see it, but I knew immediately that it was her. And okay, again,
well, no, I don't think people were saying that was literally North.
They were That's what I'm about to say. At work, what? These people at work really was like,
tall. She's not a grown adult. She's
girl, the lady looked at me and she said, oh, that was Northwest out there with Usher.
Yeah, she probably just.
I said, what? I said, girl, shut up. That was her.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of, I don't know if a lot of YT people know her.
Like, they might not.
Know what she looks like? Because for a while, she wasn't even showing herself. She would hide.
You didn't know what glasses. She looked like. Yes.
And then she.
Because I barely recognized her in Color Purple. I'm not going to lie. I was like. Really? I was like, wait a minute. I was like, oh my God, that's her. Yeah, I did not. I was like, she looks so familiar, but like I can't herself? Pinpoint who she is.
I was going to say, was she behind the glasses?
Yes.
She used to literally dress. She had a mystique about her. Like,
that was mm-hmm.
her
brand. She did, yeah.
So maybe her face is still getting out there.
Yeah, maybe. She did an amazing job, though. Like, she really did an amazing.
Talented.
Yeah,
there's a lot of sure. uproar about Justin Bieber not being there and Chris Brown, and I thought that was interesting that people expected that Usher was supposed to share his stage with these artists that he definitely helped and was willing to pass the baton, unlike, you know, the Nicki Minaj's of artists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just thought that was interesting that people were expecting Chris Brown and Justin Bieber to be there. I'm not going to lie. I did think that it was an opportunity for Justin to be there because Justin was Usher's artist. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm just like, Justin is so big that I feel like it would take away from what he was trying to do. You know,
yeah,
this moment,
yeah.
this black moment,
yeah.
this moment, I think
yes,
that wouldn't have been the time.
That wasn't for him.
It wasn't.
Everything is not for everybody. Y'all just be wanting to see, let me shut up. Anyways, sorry. something else spectacular happened during the Super Bowl. Beyonce actually dropped two songs from Renaissance Act 2. And gave us a hint that this will be what seems really, it's going to be a country album.
Act two.
Y'all, Beyonce is really like she tapped in the house and we were all kind of like, but you know, we vibe. And I actually really like that album now, obviously. But in the country, I'm like, bro, I really hate, like, I have always said that I hate country. And I hate is a strong word and that's how I've always felt about it. It just, it's not, that's not my jam. Never has been. But let me tell you how I've been playing 16 Carriages in Texas Hold'em, okay? Like, yeah. I genuinely enjoy those songs, and I guess I am a little biased because it's Beyonce and not just some other country album, but I'm really excited to see what she has done with this album and the country. Like, I'm excited to see what happens, where it goes, because just like I said with The House, like, I didn't think that I was going to enjoy that, and I thoroughly did, like, for sure.
Yeah.
So, if I can enjoy that, like, her artistry, her crap, like, she's gonna do something that I know that I'm like, okay, this is actually dope. So I'm really excited to see. And I think the way she dropped the two songs was pretty cool too. Like, she did a Verizon commercial and at the end she's like, drop the new music or here comes new music or something like that. And literally we're all on social media and we're like, wait, Beyonce really dropped two new songs. Like, it was crazy. So I think I consider that a win for everybody. Like, Usher, I mean, Beyonce, like, it was really a win for everybody. That was dope. And, oh, one thing I wanted to mention about that, too, is that there's always something people are going to say. Like, there's always has to be something. People were saying that this, Beyonce dropping two songs during the Super Bowl when Usher was performing was like Beyonce getting proposed to at like Usher's wedding. Like, that's rude. Like, she should have waited till after, like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to lie. I get what they're saying, but I don't know. What do you think?
I think the Super Bowl is a time to capitalize on advertising products and brands. I think that has always been a part of the Super Bowl. And I don't think it took away from the halftime show. Jay-Z is very involved with a lot of the behind the scenes now with the Super Bowl. He's kind of
mm-hmm.
getting, you know, black people to step in. So I can see where people say that it kind of, that it could have taken away from it. But when I think about when I think about the Super Bowl, I don't think specifically about Beyonce's songs, I think about that kind of outside of it in its own entity. Yes, she was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like, I mean, I think her commercial was just really superlative, like
marketing.
Seriously. Yeah.
I think Beyonce, she's
always in her own lane with that.
Yes, that's what I say. She's always been like that. Like dropping album with no advertisement or she don't tell us nothing. She just do it. And we're all always amazed. She's the
reason why artists do that now.
Yes.
Surprise drops, because no artist did that before. It was always a rollout.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I didn't think it was like her being proposed. Like, I feel like it was good. I feel like it was a win for everybody. That's truly how I felt about it. So they're just negative. Yeah, I'm like, calm down.
Can we just be excited for both?
Can we all win? Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, can we all just win? So, I mean, yeah, I'm excited. I am absolutely excited. Another thing I'm actually excited about too is that, so when Beyonce did like the house, and how I feel like when we watch Renaissance, like the movie, you could really see how she incorporated like the community, and she brought like people that maybe like we had no idea who they were or didn't know who was behind the scenes. Like, I feel like she brought those people like to the forefront. So I'm excited to see like the country artist or the country, like, I'm excited to see like who she's gonna like bring with her for this album as well.
Yeah.
So
sometimes people have a problem with people putting a light on things that are already so big, because they feel like it kind of taints the space, the small space in itself. Once that big artist comes in with all of their, you know, Beyonce has this massive following and things like that. And I honestly, I can understand where they're coming from, but country music was rooted in blackness. And whenever you're ready, I do have some history on that. And
please do. Yeah. Give it to us.
Okay. So this is an article. Let me see who wrote. This is the Skidmore News. They've been around since 1925. This piece is a dive into the black history of the country music, giving credit where it's due. This is the name of the article, and this is by Zia Foxhall, posted last year, February 23rd. So she gives some information that I had no idea about. So first off, it says the modern-day banjo is a descendant of a West African instrument made from gourds called the akanting. When enslaved persons were taken from Africa to America, their instrument came with them. For 400 years, enslaved people created their own music, hymns, spirituals, and field songs, all with roots in African music. Accordingly, in the 1840s, the banjo was seen as an exclusively black instrument. It was unheard of for a white person to play this banjo. In the 1850s, minstrel shows came into raging popularity. These shows were a terribly racist form of satirical entertainment in which white people would dress in blackface to mock black people and black culture. Performing the music and dance of enslaved people with instruments such as mentioned, the banjo, the shows portrayed African Americans as lazy, stupid, and foolish, stereotypes that originated on the plantation, which is crazy because we were working for free. They were working for free.
Yeah.
And still linger as overarching prejudices towards black people. Minstrel shows introduced the banjo to white audiences in a way that such the banjo was quickly appropriated by white people. Thus, the minstrel shows laid the groundwork for the rise of hillbilly music roughly around the 1920s.
Wow. Wow.
So She's, I definitely feel, just like you said, this opportunity for her to show that
we've been around.
We've been around, and this is ours. Definitely step back into these spaces, and it shouldn't be a thing. This is music.
And that's the thing, too. It's not us even stepping, like, we're stepping back into it because, like, it was already ours. And I think that's what people are, like, not realizing. Like, house music, she told us, like, that's been ours, too. Like, all of this was ours, and it was been appropriated. And, like, we never got credit for it. We were writing songs, making music for white artists who were getting the clout, like the money, the awards, the accolades for it. Like, and I think she's really, one, she's showing her range, because baby girl can do it. And then two, I think she's like, actually, let me show you that this has been ours. Like,
I think she's also saying, I agree with that. I think she's also allowing Black people to not limit themselves, to tell them that they can think outside of the box. You don't just have to listen to certain genres of music, because a lot of the music that you feel like is not ours actually originated with us. So
yes,
I love that she's kind of just allowing people to kind of dream outside of their normal perspectives, and then allow Black people to not be a monolith, that we have multiple voices, multiple beings and spaces, and we are not just one way. Although that's why I think the whole industry plants things come from too, is because it's like we're willing to put out this, no offense, trash because the people are eating it up. There's no talent, and it definitely underlines a rhetoric. It underlines a statement. Although it's not being said, it's like, this is what Blackness is. No, it's not.
Talk about it. Talk about it, girl. Talk about it. I love that. What you said was, it just reminds us that we're not like, that you can't put a limit on us. We're limitless. Yeah. Like, we need to step outside of our box, take the reins, and like, do what we want to do. It's doable. And I definitely agree. Like, that is... And that's what I'm saying too. Like, it should be like inspiring that like we have so many great examples of what we can do, who we can be, like things like, even if it's not that, it just kind of inspires, like, I'm just speaking for myself, like it inspires me to be able to be like, okay, this is what I want to do, and make a plan, and I'm gonna fucking do this shit. Like, yeah. That's it. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm sorry, there's more information here that's kind of like, what?
Oh, please give it to us, okay, girl. Hot off the press though.
Hillbilly music was later renamed country, and it became the music of the South. The first hillbilly artists drew inspiration from slave spirituals, field songs, hymns, and blues, which itself has Black origins. In the 1920s and 30s, despite America being a deeply segregated nation, both Black and white hillbilly artists collaborated on a number of popular tracks. Nearly 50 African-American singers and musicians appeared on commercial hillbilly records between those years. Because the music was not a white tradition, but a fluid phenomenon, it passed back and forth between the races. It says, after World War I, hillbilly music was officially rebranded as country music and commercialized. Mm-hmm. Big record labels wanted to sell country music, but couldn't do so if it was integrated. Mm-hmm. Thus, Black artists on previous records received no recognition, and the covers were sold with white stand-ins. Suddenly, country music became marketed as white music. White audiences then adopted country music as their own, and as they moved north, white Southerners brought country music with them, further spreading the notion that country was white music. We're just going to leave that there. Beyonce, do your thing. 16 Carriages brought me to tears, and we up.
Oh, yes. I love it. I freaking love it. 16 Carriages do something to me. It gives me like a chill. It's like, oh, hold on. She's talking about her dream being carried away. And that
this was seeing that. She was
on a holy night. Talk about it.
I think yes. I do like it more than Texas Hold'em.
I do, yeah.
It just, yeah. It's really like a country song.
Yes.
Country music is beautiful to me. I don't listen to it on my own time. Because mm-hmm. sometimes it is really sad. You know what I mean? And it's more than sad. It's just supposed to be real. It's just supposed to be hard, you know, from the heart. It's the blues, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
Lord help us.
Wow. Yes.
Well, 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 guys. So, are you guys going to the movies? Apparently, Color Purple was considered to be a flop. So, the film did rake in $18 million. $18 million its premiere weekend, which was Christmas Day weekend. It outbeat Aquaman, who wouldn't, and Wonka. I'm sorry, Aquaman is not good.
The shame.
and so, I guess from what you were saying, it made around $60 million overall, but they paid $90 million for the film itself, and then another $40 million just for like promotions. So that's why it was considered to not have actually made back the money that was put into it. And then Rap Shit, which is Issa Rae's second show with HBO Max, it was canceled after season 2. So I just wanted to pose the question, are we expected to support every film that comes out that is, you know, promoted towards us? Because there are a lot of people who felt like the Color Purple musical was not up to par with the film. Oh. And so, I don't know. I just wonder if we are expecting to see things that represent us, that look like us, but people are not going to support it. How do we expect them to continue making it? Do they have to, you know, be appeasable to other audiences in order to be successful?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. I think that, I don't know. Okay. Because I feel like we should support it.
Yeah.
Because it is like for us, by us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should support it, but I don't know if there should be like an obligation. Like, yeah, okay, this is black. I'm black. I gotta go watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not really my thing, like, let's say I don't really like Color Purple and I didn't really want to go see it. It's like, should I just go do it just because? Like, no. You know what I'm saying? But also the narrative that we need like other people to support it, to make it successful, I don't necessarily like that narrative either.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, black dollars, I mean, we spend billions a year, just black people, on like so many different things. Like, that's like been said multiple times. Like, if we stop the black dollar from going to certain places, then, or stop spending it on certain things, that product would fail because it didn't have us. So I think that if we all did support it, then it could really be successful. But also, like, I think that just comes down to, okay, like, I don't really, that's not my style. Like, for example, Color Purple, maybe that's something that people just didn't want to go see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like they did it on purpose. It's just, when you put something out for an audience, maybe they just don't like it. That's it.
I remember when Daquan came on, he talked about this, but I think that there are circulated few plots that are reiterated in movies and films and shows for black people. And I think that we are missing, you know, just different storylines, different perspectives. I do understand wanting to reintroduce a great film like Color Purple to younger audiences. But I do understand also maybe a need for a variety in what type of themes are being sold to us. Because, like I said, we are so diverse in our thinking and our beings. And there's only so many things you can see when it comes to, like, slave. Not that Color Purple is a slave movie. It's not. But, you know, slave movies. And there was a time, especially when we were younger, where it was starting to be a little too consistent. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
What happened to black? Like, we don't have a lot of black rom-coms.
Yeah. We need a little bit of that. Something, and that might be true. Maybe we just need a little bit more variety. People are like, I saw Color Purple. Okay, and it's a musical. Like, a lot of you actually don't like musicals. Like, I don't like musicals.
Yeah, so, I'm not a big musical girl either.
So that really could have been the thing. Why they decided to do a musical.
Yeah, a lot of people were not satisfied.
From
Sierra being in it to just it being just a little too commercialized with having all these different artists in there instead of people that actually really are hungry, you know, introducing us to actual actors.
Like new actors,
just putting all these artists in here just to really sell it from that angle instead of selling it from an angle of talent.
Yeah.
Not to say that, you know,
they
didn't do a great job. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting.
Girl.
Oh, am I messing around? Sorry.
It's like tag grid.
I angled it and I'm like, ugh.
Trying to get it back right.
I didn't want to say, Donald Glover has a show called Mr. and Mrs. Smith Out. It's based off the original movie.
I saw they advertise.
It's actually super great. But I do wonder.
Is it a parody or no?
No, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is just like an action It's an action film?
No, the original one was, but one with him in it as well is like his new series.
It's action, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it really
like a parody on.
Yeah, no, it's not a comedy at all.
Okay,
there's definitely comedic relief throughout it. It's a great show, but with it being based off Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they definitely just carry that on.
Okay, cool.
Different storyline, same ideas. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is basically two people who give up their lives to be these agents where they take out, take on different missions. Mm-hmm. And you only can fail so many before you either lose the opportunities of being an agent at all or you're separated from your partner. So you're given the names John and Jane Smith, and you're supposed to leave your whole life behind. Like, no contact with anybody that you've known before. It's just a very risky lifestyle, so you almost don't want to anyways, because you could be putting those people in danger.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, like, Donald Glover is one person that I would say does help to put out different narratives along with Jordan Peele, and I appreciate him for that.
Wow.
And I couldn't help be attracted to him watching the show. I was really surprised. Oh, wow. I don't look at him like that.
Okay.
He's more like a brother or a cousin. I think that's what I see him like. That's I've never seen him like sexually attractive. But in this show,
he was hot.
Fine.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I'm going to have to tap in and see. I did see Advertise, and I was like, oh, interesting.
It's so good. I finished last night. It's so good. Well written, funny. You don't know what to expect. Took me off my feet first 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, girl. Wow. And that's on Amazon?
Yes, it's on Amazon Prime. Okay. So you guys can watch it out there. Okay, I wanted to bring him up, though. My mom asked me while we were watching, so I watched the first 3 episodes with my parents. My mom was like, how do you feel about him? I think she was just trying to see, like, if I was attracted to him. And I think when I know that, and this is just me, if I know that a black man is not attracted to black women, it does kind of just, all of a sudden, just tear me
out. I'm not attracted to you either.
I'm not. It just, I don't know, I might be the only person that feels that way, but like.
No, I feel like it's kind of like a turnoff. Like there's another actor, what's his name?
Or if they make a comment like, oh, I don't like dark skinned women, or it's just like, okay, so you just. Because for me, I'm attracted to whoever. So if you put limitations on who, I just.
And be like, you specifically, I don't like. It's like, ew.
So you don't like your mama, you don't like your sister. I just don't understand. Like, my mind can't.
Yeah.
Anyways. So I wanted to bring up Donald Glover because apparently he said it really hurts him when people say that he doesn't like black women. So I have an article here addressing that and what he said. So let me see if I can get to it. So he says, when addressing why he decided to ask the question. Oh yeah. So he did an interview of him with himself. He was interviewing himself in a magazine.
Wow.
Last year. And one of the questions he posed was, are you afraid of black women? Let me read this first to give a little bit more context as to why it's just kind of awkward. So I have the interview up here. Okay. So he asks himself, are you afraid of black women? And he says back to himself, why are you asking me that? I feel like your relationship to them has played a big narrative in your narrative.
Oh.
I feel like your relationship to them has played a big part in your narrative. And he says, I feel like you're using black women to question my blackness. And then he says, all right, are you going to teach your kids how to be black? And he says, well, yeah, should someone else? And he laughs. And he says to himself, it feels as though your thoughts on race. And then he cuts himself off. Can I say something? I hate talking about race more than 5 minutes unless it's with other black people and or we're laughing. And then he asked himself, can I ask one last thing? Then I'm done. Do you think black has lost its value? And he says, in what way? In whatever way you think it means. I definitely think it's diluted in the marketplace because everyone can do it and it doesn't have to be authentic. It happens every 10 to 15 years. I think we're at the tail end of it now, though. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for being at the tail end of this cycle? I think just focus on your perspective, not your blackness. I guess in a vacuum, it's easier not to focus on your blackness, but the world will dictate how important it is to you in some ways, no? Like, do you want your kids to not focus on their blackness? Oh. In some ways, I don't. But I also don't want them to be the light-skinned kid saying, I don't see color. What do you want your kids to be? I guess I want them to be good men, but they decide what they are. I love them regardless. Okay, and he kind of goes into that. But him asking, him posing the question about him with the black women, it actually rubbed a lot of people. It made a lot of people feel weird because, again, he's interviewing himself. So... recently he was asked about it, about him, you know, not liking black women, and he said that it really hurts him. So he said, I feel like it was something that people always say, but no one ever asked me how I felt and don't really want to know. It's a better narrative, but anybody who actually knows me knows how much that hurts me. When asked how he's going to move past the accusations, he says, I'm going to play with my kids and be happy and be present because my kids know that and they're the only ones that matter. Or my mom knows that and she's the only one who matters. Or Quinta Brunson knows that and she's the only one who matters. Mm-hmm. People who actually know me. And also, it's not true. When I walk down the street in Atlanta, that's not what happens. So he is an Atlanta native as well. I don't know if you know
that. And I'm not saying that it's okay, but I feel like when black men do not have black wives, I think that people automatically assume they don't like black women.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm not saying it's an accurate, you know, you shouldn't do that, but yeah. I mean.
I always feel the opposite. When I see, like, a black woman with a white man, I know that it's not from that place.
Yeah. Oh, when it's a black woman who has a white husband, I don't think that.
I don't think that either. And so, why is that? Why do you think that we have those?
I'm not saying that. I don't know. Tricky. I know it is really tricky because it's a weird thought because that's true. Like, if I see a black woman, maybe because in my head, if I were to date a white man and just like fall in love, I would just, I guess, because you hear black men say that. I don't think I've heard a lot of black women say that. You hear black women say, oh, I don't want to date any more black women, that y'all are hard, y'all are angry, y'all are whatever narrative y'all want to put out about black women. And I feel like I hear that from black men. But then on the flip side, black women, I don't really hear that. I have, but not in such abundance as I have with black men. So it's kind of like, okay, maybe you are dating this white man or married to this white woman because you are fed up with black women, as I've heard your peers say, you know?
Yeah.
It is very tricky because I don't know. I don't know that much about him either. So it's hard for me to even say in regards to him. But, I mean, people fall in love with who they fall in love with. I mean,
I definitely agree. People definitely fall in love with who they fall in love with. Love is love. I think that there are complexities and nuances with that because despite who you choose to love, you're still represented in the world and have to navigate the world differently because of skin color. And it's not really something that you choose. Mm-hmm. It's just the reality. And I think that that's where it gets a little, it gets a little complicated, but, two, Childish Gambino, and I even saw an interview where Terrell Owens was talking about this, just really, you know, I don't know if Childish Gambino has been through this, but Terrell Owens was saying, you know, he was interested in black women, but they literally were like ugly duckling him. And so he decided to go, you know, he decided to go, you know, where he was praised. And I think as he got older, he just wasn't really into it. You know what I mean? I think people have to find people that match like their lifestyle, but I think that you have to be with people that are aware of how you're perceived in the world, and like a true under, like, I think sometimes people date and they don't have those type of conversations. It's just like, yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's like, I don't think I could date a person who was not Black, and like, we would have to have a serious conversation about like, I know that you see, I am Black. I know that you see that I am Black, but do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means for me to be Black in America? Like, do you truly understand what that means? Or in any other country, honestly.
And I think, like, there's a lot of explaining that you have to do, even if you don't want to. There's already going to be the explaining of, this is who I am as a person. But then you're also having to explain, like, this is why you can't do that. And I don't have any examples in my head right now.
I gotta know you're gonna defend me too. That's another thing. Like, I gotta know that you are gonna understand this Blackness, and know that, like, when we have those conversations about, like, police brutality against, like, African-American people and all that stuff, I don't want to hear you saying, like, I don't know, man. This is, that's just not my, nah.
Yeah. It's tricky. But that's what I say. Donald Glover, I feel like he may have not, I think that there are, and that's what I this conversation actually is kind of annoying, because I don't think that all Black women are just like, oh, I want this suave, swaggy. No, like, there are many of us that like the nerdy Black guys and stuff like that. But there's this rhetoric that they'll, you know.
Yeah. Not only white women
that neglected like that, parties go to other places.
When you mentioned Terry Crews and he said, oh, I went where I was praised. It's like, so you decide. Crohn's. Oh my God. What did I say?
You said Terry Crews.
Oh, sorry. Terrell Owens. When you make a statement like that, it's like you decided to leave Black women alone. You decided to date everybody but Black women. And that's what I don't like. It's like, you fall in love with who you fall in love with, no matter how you fall in love with them. It's like, okay, hey, I'm going to give this person a try. Not because, hey, I don't want to talk to you because you're Black. That's what that makes it sound like. So that's why it's hard to make, like, you don't like Black women.
Yeah.
That's why it comes off.
I think you have to know the root of why you.
Yeah.
Because if you're with anybody just to get back at another group, you're already doing it wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And it does suck that he, if that's not his narrative or that's not his truth, it does suck that he kind of got roped into that because his wife is not African-American.
Yeah.
It does suck. And that's how it happens. And it's unfortunate. But
what do you think about the backlash Usher got for marrying his wife?
Yeah, because Vegas? I really want to say
he also got some backlash as well. And I don't know if it's because of her race or if it's because of her age, but I found it interesting that Usher is dating someone age appropriate and he gets backlash because a lot of other people in the entertainment industry are dating people half their age. Rick Ross, I don't know. I was going to say Yo Gotti. I don't know. I don't know how old he is.
Oh.
But it's so common. And y'all are with it. I'm not understanding.
Wow, that's a valid
point. P. Diddy, Carisha, y'all. Oh.
Yeah. That's, but you know what? I think that Usher, this is so sticky. When I looked at Usher and his new wife, and they have two children together. They've been together. Mm-hmm. They've been partners for such a long time, actually.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at them, my first thought was nothing about her age. I immediately looked at, why did he marry a white woman? I'm sorry. That's really what I thought.
I don't even know if she is. She might be something else. She's racially ambiguous. I can't tell.
You know what's crazy, though,
too? I think she might be Hispanic.
You know, there was for a long time, there was kind of like I know my face is like toe up because I don't know what to say. For a long time, there was kind of some back and forth about how interracial couples should not be a thing. like there was like a lot of backlash people received.
Which is
like,
blasphemy. You can't say
yeah,
that.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like people really out in the street, like seeing an interracial couple and just completely like being like, that shouldn't be, y'all shouldn't be together. And that's like crazy. That's like a crazy thought. Like I would never want anybody to experience. I have a best friend who's literally married to a white man. Like, and I actually love them down. Like they,
yeah,
he top tier, but it's tricky. It's tricky. Cause when I saw Usher's wife, I did cringe a little. I have to be honest because
yeah, I think maybe it's because I think we as black women are just really in the knowing and intuitively about certain things like that. But for some reason with Usher, I just don't, I've seen Usher with black women.
Yeah.
And actually I wanted to bring this up. So for a while, we, Usher and Chili were all the thing. We were trying to figure out why Chili was on VH1 trying to do all this, you know, this dating show. Like, girl, you supposed to be with Usher. Like, and she never really, you know, came out and said why they weren't together. There were speculations that the Confessions album was about Chili and, you know, did Usher have an outside baby on her? Like, was this all, was this all about their relationship? Anyways, I wanted to read what Usher said about Chili. So in a recent interview with Hot 97, the singer revealed that he once proposed to Chili and she rejected it. He said, if I'm to be honest, I was her number one fan and she was my superstar. Whoa. Superstar was written about Chili.
Wow. Fox. Superstar. Come
being,
on.
Superstar being written about you, sis, is come literally on. The biggest flex. Like,
you be my
this is for you,
baby. You be my superstar. Every single episode, you're going to get a song. You're welcome.
He said, at the age of 8, I put her poster on my wall and said, man, that girl is so beautiful. One day I'm going to meet her. I was a young man and she had very specific rules that didn't work for me. We were missing each other. I really did want to have a different type of relationship where she was there with me and she couldn't be. She didn't believe that I was actually in love with her as much as I was. I wanted to marry her. I proposed and she told me no. I went through a great deal of pain after that, not trusting women or wanting to open up. I hurt her too. He added that he was heartbroken. I really did love that girl. I did everything that I thought you would have wanted me to do, but I guess my good wasn't great enough.
Woo.
And she was older than him, so maybe that's why she was
kind of like...
How much
older than him is he? Is she though? Hold on, let me see how old Chili is, because he's 45. Chili is... So, is Chili dating a white man, Matthew Lawrence, from that show?
Not like, Usher and Chili being on the same tip.
That's crazy. Oh, God. Chili is 52, bro.
Okay. So how old was he looking at her on his wall?
He said he was 8. So if he was 8, she was...
15?
Oh, sorry. Hold on. My
thing. Wait. I might be that math wrong. Was it 7 or 8 years? Because he's 45. She's 52?
Yeah, she was 15. I mean, I can see 8-year-old having a crush on a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
babysitter. Yeah, that's 7 years sure. difference. That's not what I thought it was. Okay, 7 years difference is not, you know, bad.
Yeah.
Not that any of it is bad, but when I saw 52 wow. pop up, I was like, dang, Chili really 52?
They just look
that's
so
crazy.
Good together. I'm surprised they never spin the block. I think that's why it's so exciting, you know, seeing Usher and Nelly together.
Ashanti and Usher.
What?
Why did Nelly and Ashanti.
Yes, you know exactly. I was like, wait, yes. Did not say the right names. Yes. They should have spoken black, but Chili does seem like she's very anal. Like,
what I say goes.
And there's nothing, I mean.
It's okay with wanting what you want. It's okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Totally okay.
I do think that there are hindrances, but.
You're going to find the one that's for you. And if it wasn't Usher, then it's okay. It wasn't Usher. But my God, what a catch. Okay. I mean, but also we don't know what Usher in a relationship is like.
Yeah, we don't.
We know stage Usher and we may want that Usher, but we don't know what real Usher is like.
Especially if he grew up around P. Diddy. Oh my.
Sicko.
So, speaking of people that
that just came out.
Yeah. The truth.
Day.
Speaking of people doing things that you just don't expect, kind of taking you for a whirl. I don't know if you guys remember her. She went by the name Rachel Dolezal. I don't know if I'm saying that right. She was a white woman posing as a black woman. She was like a professor at a school. It was a big thing. Well, now she is known as, I don't know how to pronounce this, y'all. It's N-K-E-C-H-I. Nechi?
Girl.
I don't know.
Nekechi.
Nekechi Dilo? Yeah, we fucking it up. She was fired from an after-school program where she was a teacher, where she was getting paid $19 an hour for her OnlyFans. I just wanted to talk about this because...
Wait, she was getting paid $19 an hour?
Exactly.
This for being on OnlyFans?
Decided to be a teacher to help because these teachers need... teachers need help. They're understaffed. All these classrooms have 30 kids. That's insane.
I'm sorry. Jordan is like, we need teachers, and this one got fired.
For OnlyFans, I just don't agree with people being fired for what they do outside of work. If you're not part of like a hate militia, the KKK or something like that, I'm not saying she's fine, but she dresses in lingerie. And I mean, that's her thing. That's her bag.
I mean, so whatever people do in private, like if that's not affecting her being a teacher, I don't see why she needed to be fired for that. That's her business. She's not doing anything that she shouldn't be doing.
So Rachel is, they're still calling her Rachel. She is 46 years old. She made headlines with her OnlyFans page in September 2022.
How long has she been teaching? That's what I'm trying to figure out too. She made headlines in 2022.
How long has she been teaching at this place? So she started in August of last year, and she was her contract was until May of 2024. So but they've already fired her after they got wind of the OnlyFans. So I want to ask, like, do you think that teachers should be held accountable for things they participate in outside of school?
No.
If it's not harmful?
Just like when they drug test healthcare workers. Like, I don't know. They don't drug test the doctors. That's what's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild. You know, they be... Like, quick. Like, ooh, that's crazy.
I've always heard that. That's actually scary to know that your doctor could really have just did a line of coke. And no, is now...
Hey, how you doing? Like, yeah. No.
Oh, it's the... This girl did multiple rubs under her nose, y'all. Please get her.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think that what she's doing... Now, OnlyFans, I guess it could be a little different because one of her students could really get an OnlyFans account and be looking at her at night and then come in at work. Ooh. I mean, come to school and... be looking at her. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? It could get a little creepy. It could get a little creepy. But I guess I think they fired her to ward off any thing that could possibly come down. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it was kind of like a preventative measure. That's what I feel like. And I don't know if... Now, I mean, as far as being held accountable for things you do outside of work and school, I mean... Should you be held accountable? Yeah, because you getting pulled over, you getting DUIs, I don't know if you're okay to even, like, work at a school. You know what I mean?
So, they need to up the pay then. That's what I'm saying.
If y'all gonna because $19 is crazy. That's why she's working OnlyFans.
Yeah.
She said, I need a little extra coin.
For sure. I just thought this was crazy because Rachel...
She,
you know, when she popped up on,
she wanted to be black so bad. It's crazy. Yeah.
I just could not believe.
It's crazy.
I wish I could find out her original story. because I don't really remember how she just popped out.
Like, I found a little thing. It just says, do you remember Rachel Dolezal? If you recall, Rachel gained national attention back in 2015 after she was accused of misidentifying herself as
she
black
was president
while
of
serving as the head of NAACP.
That's crazy.
In Spokane, Washington. That's how she got away with it. Nobody
yeah,
here would
where
allow
is that?
That. Well, Rachel, who now goes by Catchy D. Girl, bye. I'm sorry. Girl, bye.
She was the subject of public scrutiny where her parents publicly stated that she was pretending to be black. Oh, no.
She
her parents
black...
would come out and say, hey, I don't know what she got going on.
Child, she got a black... She. That's crazy. That's crazy, too.
She had... So, the reason why she went viral, too, back then was because... She had reported to police and local news media that she had been the victim of race-related hate crimes. Oh, man.
Wait, so who was... It's probably because they knew she was white. Posing as black. That's what's crazy.
She was dismissed from her position as an instructor in Africana Studies. So sis has really been losing teaching jobs for a while. Jesus. This is crazy.
Jordan said she's been losing teaching jobs for a while now. She's used to it. You know, I got a question though. So how is it that she was scrutinized for misidentifying herself when there are people who want to be identified as non-binary or, you know, whatever, and nobody's, I mean, I'm not saying they don't receive scrutiny, but
I think
if she wants to be black, so right now she
2014, so that's when me and you had just met. I think that those conversations weren't being had.
But is it okay for her to? So now in this day and age, she was like, you know what? I'm not going to be white anymore. I'm actually going to be black. Can she do that?
You know what? I just sent a video to Korea a couple days ago. It was a small town. These people had like an inch of black in them. They represented white, and they all put on applications and stuff that they were black. They identified as black women. I thought that was so interesting. I don't really know how to, I don't know.
I feel like that's kind of the same thing.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying.
And
in those scenarios,
somebody can say,
really
hey,
know.
I actually don't want to be a girl or a boy, or maybe I want to be a girl and I'm a, like, you know what I'm saying? Like
can you identify
you identify how you want to identify. That's been the narrative for the past couple years. So if people can say they want to identify however they want to identify, then I'm not agreeing
not
with
every black person
this lady, but
representation.
Yeah.
That shows.
I'm not agreeing with her, but I'm just saying that if I want to play devil's advocate, then she can be black if she wants to be black.
No.
And so can those people.
I don't know.
Those people
why.
saying that they're black, they can be black too.
It's just a certain experience that comes with that. Like for her to be raised by white parents, you can't just divulge yourself into black studies and put on a dashiki. Like it's just so much more than
that's
that.
That's what she was doing.
That is not my black experience. Like it's
not
so much
hers either.
So much more complexities to it.
Yes, it's kind of the same argument we were having too when there were that situation. It was like a while ago. We actually talked about it. There were transgender people who were saying that they were having cramps and things like that. And
that's just a lie, though.
They weren't.
You just got gas or diarrhea. That's a lie. You did not have a cramp. And you will talk to transgender people and like they will tell you like, no, that's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That comes
talk.
From a certain group, Black History Month, so you can guess that to be doing the most in the area. They do not
like,
speak for all
stop.
Transgender people. Just like
please
all
stop.
Black people don't speak for us.
Yeah.
So
and to be clear, she is not black. Come on. Get me out of here.
You know, I was watching National Geographic once and this elephant had pretty much adopted itself to a different animal species and was really amongst them as one of them. It's like they had just taken this elephant in. I think something had happened to her, like where she had like lost a part of her trunk or something, but they raised her as if she was one of them. And so I think in those situations,
yeah,
it can be a little bit more understandable, because like that's the thing. Like, I know I was listening to a podcast and the guy is from New York, and he was saying that he's shared his community with a lot of like Latina peoples, and he was you know, saying they say the N-word. He was like, that was, he was like, I knew white people that said the N-word. That was just a thing in our community. Ooh. And so sometimes I maybe people growing in close proximity might feel a certain identity based off of that communal experience that they had. I can understand that, but for her, I'm not Washington, in a very rare city that I've never heard of, to two white parents.
It's like she knew she had to go to Spoonoke, Washington, Spoonoke, wherever the hell it is.
Anyways, girl. We're almost through Black History Month, and I have yet to do what I said I was going to do. I said I was really going to divulge into Mr. Baldwin and his ideologies.
Ooh.
James Baldwin, I still have not. Wow. I just wanted to take somebody that I didn't know about that was just like a big contribution to Blackness, and just learn about them. And so I still have 2 weeks. You hopefully I can get back on y'all when I get a little tea about Mr. Baldwin, because
I'm not gonna lie,
y'all might know about him already.
This does not feel like Black History Month.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just does not feel.
Not every month feel. Maybe because there's not like a lot of celebration that you're seeing.
Yeah, like I feel like last year it was like, it's Black History Month. Yeah, like I don't know. And now I'm just like, it feels okay, it's Black History Month.
When you say yeah, were you getting that from a social, like a I just social felt media it in the space air. Or?
Like, I know it sounds crazy, but I did. I felt it in the air. Yes, it was also on social media. Yes, it was on. I mean, like, I was seeing it. It was in my face. And now it's just like, it's not. And when you said you were going to do that, it's like, okay, like, it was kind of like, damn, like, even though I don't feel it, I still need to do something. Or not do, but just, like, it's not about, like, what's on the outside. It is Black History Month, and it's my decision to, like, take it upon myself and be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, or this is how I'm going
to
feel.
I was going to say, does like, that left so up that to just, us? Dang. Yeah. Well, I don't know where to start. I wanted to say, though, my sister, this is completely off topic, kind of relates to that, though. There's a word for it, but it was saying that we're missing the third spot. Like, we have the first, like, people are more lonely because we don't have those third spaces where you meet up with, like, other people, and it's like a communal experience. So saying that that would be essential to when we were younger, we would meet up at the mall. Like, work and home are like our first two main places that we're always at. But because we don't have that third place where we would go and interact with other people, and like a coffee shop, or just like how Edgewood was for us, like a place to actually, you know, we talked about that a couple months ago. Not having a place to come and, you know, gather with our with our people.
That's
why a lot of people are like feeling lonely. And I wonder if maybe we had spaces like that, that we would feel more of a celebration connected in this month. Like, okay, we having a fish fry. Y'all come on down. We, you know, we're having a parade. We're doing a little barbecue. Y'all come on.
I kind
of
feel like that's what Juneteenth has become.
Really? I still haven't experienced Juneteenth in that capacity. I haven't celebrated Juneteenth at all still.
Oh, damn. We were actually talking about having a Juneteenth, like, cookout this year.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if we can make a shake, but we were actually, like, talking about trying to make a shake because we just was like, we got to do something. But yeah, like, my cousin, she's had them in the past year. I think I went to, so weird, but I went to Marietta Square once for a celebration they have.
You know, it's a lot of racial tension in Marietta.
Yeah, right.
Not racial tension, but just the history of Marietta.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think that we should, like, I can't wait till we get older because, like, the girl, this girl that was on the video talking about these spaces, she was on YouTube talking about it, and she was saying how, you know, when we were younger, there used to be places like that where you could go, but now a lot of times people are going to those spaces and they're still working. So you might go to Starbucks, but you're like, you're on your laptop, you're on your phone, like, you're not really interacting with people.
With the people, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. It's, I lost my train of thought.
Oh, sorry.
Honestly, I really did. Oh, yes, that's what it was. She said that her and her friends, they each week, they go to a different, you know, a friend will host them so that they still have that third spot and they're, you know, still connecting with the same people.
That's so cool.
And I was like, man, I can't wait to, I can't wait to get to that point. We can do that.
You know what I was thinking? So I was like, when you came over that day, I was like, we haven't just hung out at each other's house. Like, and I don't know if that's because life, but like that was our thing. Like, especially when I was in high school, like, okay, I'm just going to Courtney's, or, oh, I'm just going over to Amber's. Like, they're coming over here. Like, we would just kick it. And I don't know if that's because we were young and we couldn't do nothing, anything else. But like, I kind of missed that. So I was like, going back to that, when you came over, it felt good. It was like, ah, we can relax, we can talk shit, we can drink. Like, it just felt good.
No pressure.
Good.
You don't have to get dressed up. Yeah. Worry about other people or standing in line.
I miss that. I miss that. But that's like a great idea. Like, yeah, just getting together to get together.
Yeah, my mom was telling us when she was younger, they used to just sit out on the porch and they would talk to people that walked by. And I'm like, that does not happen these days. In fact, like,
it doesn't.
Nobody really sits outside. Like, I don't really see people sitting on their porch.
Yeah. I shouldn't have called Bisette on her porch.
Oh. That's good.
She got a swing out there, too.
I be in the back because I don't want to be seen. So, I'm more of on the back porch type of girl.
I don't want to greet the neighbors.
Yes, people are just, I'm sorry, but I do like my privacy.
Yeah, I'm
but I do. I mean, yeah, nobody ain't going. Hey, can I borrow some sugar? We're not doing any of that. So.
I think we got scared because people.
We need community to come together, though, because the way they're talking about it's gonna be a civil war. Maybe. Please don't be a civil war.
Oh my god, what's that movie we just all watched and got creeped out by? It was a civil war literally happening, and they all like. The little girl ended up watching Friends in the basement.
Oh. That wasn't a civil war. That was
some kind of war.
They were hacked.
But it was like a war, cyber, though, right?
They were blowing up
when I saw them. I mean, at the end of the movie, they were showing bombs being dropped, no?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So remember in the movie, they were hacked. There was a specific group targeting them. It was like a cyber attack. But civil war is more in house. I don't think that it was Americans fighting Americans. I think there was somebody on the outside.
Oh, that's what you mean.
But it was just showing. It was just showing. Yeah. The satellites are breached and everything. And we're not able to communicate with each other. Then people will start fending for themselves. Maybe. But yeah. Right. And unfortunately, because there isn't community, people aren't coming together. It's just everyone for themselves. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, I think that concludes our episode. We don't want to hold you guys too long. We do have some ideas in store to have some guests on, so be ready for that.
Y'all. We have some things happening, y'all.
Yeah. We're also supposed to be having like an astrology read in a couple.
Ooh.
Well, next month. Excited for us to get read down on air.
Ooh.
Not trying to be exposed, but all right. Here we go. Yep.
Here we are. Read me.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. cool. Yeah. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Yes. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any thoughts, any ideas, any things you want us to talk about, please DM us, email us. What's our email?
Let's Queen WAJ@gmail.com.
Yeah. Just hit us up.
We'd love to hear from you. We would love that.
All right, y'all.
Love you. Peace out.